Welcome to 40A&M N5, a download of 40A&M LLC, recorded at 2200 Eastern on Saturday, May 18th, with a selection of tech sector and related global news and policy highlights from the past week. Today, we are coming to you from beautiful rural Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Coming up, the UK releases twin reports on the availability and use of internet services throughout Britain. Samsung reports successful trials of 5G mobile communications technology. Google unveils a new subscription music service, and the European Commission aims to improve on the availability of information for internet policymaking. But first, Associated Press Chief Executive Gary Pruitt was told on Friday, May 10th, that the U.S. Justice Department had gathered the records of outgoing phone calls made by AP employees on more than 20 phone lines. In all, the AP said that the seizures covered general switchboard numbers and a fax line at its offices in New York, Hartford, Connecticut, Washington, D.C., and at the U.S. House of Representatives. Mr. Pruitt made public a letter he wrote to U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, saying that there can be no possible justification for such an overbroad collection of the telephone communications of the Associated Press and its reporters. News organizations in the U.S. are usually notified in advance if the government is seeking such information, and the Justice Department has the obligation under law to look for every other way to get such information before they intrude on freedom of the press. Officials have previously said that the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C. was conducting a criminal investigation into information contained in an AP story published in May 2012 about a CIA operation in Yemen that foiled an Al-Qaeda plot to blow up a U.S.-bound airplane. In a statement, the U.S. Attorney's Office in the District of Columbia insisted that it took seriously its obligations to follow all applicable laws and to make every reasonable effort to obtain information through alternative means before considering subpoena of phone records for a member of the media. Research in the UK from the Office of National Statistics revealed that 43.5 million adults in Britain are now online. This is 1 million more than for the same period last year, but 7.1 million remain offline, with the elderly and disabled still the least likely to be connected. London had the highest rate of internet users in the UK with 90%, while Northern Ireland the lowest with 79%. But when broken down by age, not surprisingly, 99% of all 16 to 24-year-olds use the internet in Britain, with those 75 or above still most likely to be disconnected. Although since the last measures were taken in 2011, the number of over 75s who had access to the internet has risen from 23 to 34%. This release by the ONS in the UK comes at a time when the UK telecommunications regulator, Ofcom, just released its examination of the availability of communication services across Britain. The survey finds that the standard broadband, which is defined as fixed broadband service of at least 2 megabits per second downstream, is available in nearly all locations throughout the country. Ofcom estimates that roughly only 1.2 million homes throughout the UK cannot receive this service, just over 900,000 in England, and roughly 10,000 each in Northern Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. By contrast, superfast broadband, what the report defines as fixed broadband service of 30 megabits per second or greater downstream, is available only in roughly 67.9% of the country, with the greatest percentage of those without the superfast living in Wales. Little mention is made throughout the report of upstream speeds available for both standard and superfast broadband, but the report does also outline the availability of 3G mobile data services, which now cover roughly 99.7% of the UK population. The release of these statistics comes at a time when the UK government is pursuing several initiatives to improve the availability of broadband services throughout Britain, including a commitment to ensure that 90% of the premises throughout the UK have access to superfast broadband services. The Ofcom survey is available at ofcom.org.uk, and the ONS report is available through ons.gov.uk. Samsung announced last week that it has developed equipment capable of transmitting 5G mobile data of more than 1 gigabits per second across a distance of up to 2 kilometers or 1.2 miles. The company suggested that the technology would eventually allow users to stream ultra-high-definition video while on the move. However, experts say that technology Samsung is working with must be put into context. Their technology, using part of the super high-frequency Ka band of the radio spectrum at 28 gigahertz, will be seriously impacted by such real-world factors as building walls, trees, and raindrops, blocking parts or all of the signal. The firm reports that it has developed an array using 64 antenna elements to overcome distance and condition issues, weakening the signal in this millimeter frequency, but recognizes that much more will need to be done before commercial use of such a technology is available. Several commentators, after last week's announcement, emphasized that while increased mobile speeds are important and the innovation laudable, far more near-term work is needed to address the present capacity crunch impacting the availability of spectrum for 4 and even 3G services in some regions. Discussions about radio spectrum and its availability and use will take place at the UN's World Radio Communication Conference in 2015. On May 15th, Google announced the unveiling of a music subscription service to be called Google Play Music All Access. Describing it as radio without rules, the service is expected to compete with iTunes, Spotify, Xbox Music, RDO, Pandora, and others. The service will be available for $9.99 US per month to access a library of millions of songs via Android device or web browser, although early adopters will be offered a discount on the monthly fee. Although other music offerings are free for use, often after a 30-day trial period, some have commented that the free availability has actually slowed the response times and utility for some users who pay for a premium service on the same free-for-use options. Most free-for-use services are supported by advertising. The announcement sent Google shares above the $900 mark for the first time during the day's trading on May 15th. Google's new music play comes just over a month after it announced new broadband initiatives in Austin, Texas. On April 9th, Google confirmed rumors that Austin will be the next U.S. city to receive Google Fiber high-speed broadband. Google plans to start connecting Austin by mid-2014, where residents will be offered a 1 gigabit per second internet and Google Fiber TV service. This unveiling in Austin follows similar Google Fiber initiatives in Kansas City, Missouri, and Provo, Utah. With more than 1,100 cities reported to be interested in the Google Fiber project, it is unclear what services might be offered or are in development, in addition to TV and internet connectivity, to make practical use of a 1 gigabit per second connection, which is some 5 to 10 times greater than most commercially available broadband internet speeds. Expected consumer costs for the Austin initiative were not disclosed, but the plan in Austin also calls for a free internet connection at a slower 5 megabit per second for 7 years to those who pay a one-time connection fee of $300. On May 13th, the European Commission unveiled plans for a joint project to be called the Global Internet Policy Observatory, with Brazil, the African Union, Switzerland, the Association for Progressive Communications, the Diplo Foundation, and the Internet Society also expressing enthusiasm for the project. The object of the Global Internet Policy Observatory will be to monitor internet policy-related developments across the globe, with the aim of making a toolbox set of information available to policymakers engaged in the internet policymaking process. Some, particularly in the developing world, have complained in recent years of difficulty in tracking the vast range of policy areas and frameworks impacted by the internet. While noting that it has no intention for the Global Internet Policy Observatory to detract from existing mechanisms and dialogues such as the Internet Governance Forum, the European Commission hopes to supplement existing information on internet policy and hopefully increase the inclusive nature of existing multi-stakeholder processes through the availability of information. In the coming months, the Commission is expected to carry out a feasibility study with the hope that an online platform could commence in 2014. You have been listening to 40ANMN5, a production of 40ANM LLC. For more information, visit 40a-m.com. All stories for this week's podcast were reported by at least 2 online or print news sources or taken directly from relevant releases. We'll be back on Monday, May 27th. Until then, make this week one to remember. Bye for now.